We got your boy Steve Phillips on the line.
I love it.
Do you want to bring in Steve?
Yeah,
bring
he's
us back
the best.
To the ALCS back 100%. In 15 and 16. You guys doing damage down at the Rogers Center?
Yep, those were the good old days. Joey Bats. I'll never forget that as long as I live. It's one of the most memorable events I've ever been at in my entire life. When he rocked that homer and then he flipped his bat and did his little pimp walk, it was remarkable. How are you, Steve?
Hey guys, good to be with you, man. What a treat, Dutchie on today. Yeah.
That's
wow.
what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, no, it's man. My pleasure. Are you kidding? You're the best. Hey, I have a question for you. No, you know what I like about Phillips?
How nostalgic is this? Yeah, Dutchie's just going to start ranting about something.
No, you know what I like about this? You know what I like about Steve? Everything. Even if he's a Michigan fan. Yeah, the guy's quality.
Go blue.
Okay, yeah. Question for you, though. What's going on? Like, explain this to me, please, because I'm old enough to remember when Major League Baseball was actively involved in collusion, and they actually went to court, and they were found guilty of it. But now we've got over 100 free agents. You got Manny Machado, you got Bryce Harper, you got 26-year-olds who are conceivably in their prime, and they're not getting signed. So please break it down for me, if you could.
Well, here's the thing: is that this, you know, everybody, the players keep saying, "Wow, the owners aren't spending money." I mean. The reality is that Bryce Harper turned down a 10-year deal for beyond $300 million. He thought he was going to get more, and he hasn't gotten an offer close to that. From any indication out there right now, he has not gotten an offer. And so, like, he's not a victim. He made a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got a $300-plus million offer and said no to it, thinking and wishing he was going to get more, and it's not there. Look, what's happened is this. Part of it is timing, bad timing. And part of it is, you know, so you've got a lot of teams that are rebuilding, and even for the rebuilding teams, like Harper and Machado don't really want to go there because they're going to spend the next 3 years kind of getting their teeth kicked in, hoping to win after that. And those teams are looking at it saying, you know, I don't want to do a 10-year deal because, you know, so Justin Verlander came out and said, I don't understand it. Seems to me that 26 to 36 is a good window for a player. Well, he's wrong. That the reality is that analytics are making it clear, and listen, everybody in Toronto lived it with Jose Bautista when remember, he wanted the 5-year, $150 million extension with Josh Donaldson, who's now going to free agency at 33, and realized that when you get to 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, you're not the same player you were when you were 26. And so teams are saying, we're willing to spend money on players. And I'm willing to do 7 years on Harper and Machado and give them $35 million a year, $30 million a year. I'm willing to do that. For that eighth, ninth, and tenth year, I'm willing to spend $35 million in those years, too, for a player. Just not this guy who's going to be 32, 33, 34 years old. I want the next young guy and give him the money. And so, effectively, what players are mad at is that teams aren't making the same mistakes they used to.
Right.
That's what they're throwing a fit about and what they're frustrated about. And that's what Harper and Machado are holding out for, is they want to get paid at 32, 33, 34, 35, the same way they're going to get paid at 26 through 32. And teams are reluctant to do that.
Well, what I find, you know, interesting about this and the idea of some, you know, collusion, I don't know if we can go that far.
No.
I don't know how you could ever prove it. But historically, and this isn't exclusive to baseball, this happens in every league. At some point, you get a GM who convinces his owner, who cares about the final 3 years? Let's make sure we get there
right.
First and get the player. You know, and that wasn't about analytics. They knew it at the time. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, GMs would be like, yeah, I don't know what he's going to look like in 7 years, but I know what he's going to look in years 1 through 6. So when did that change?
Yeah, that changed over the last couple of years. Here's what happened. It used to be that as a general manager, I used my owner as the bad guy. Like, I always wanted to give more money, but my owner would say no. And I'd say, listen, I can't do it because my owner just won't let me give me more money. And it allowed me to keep the sort of negotiation going with the agent to hope that I could still find a way to make a deal. What's changed now is that agents try to get to owners because they figured, oh, if the owner's the bad guy, let me go to the owner. Let me go to the owner and see if I can't get him because he's the last line of defense. And like, what's he going to say? Well, my wife won't let me do it, right? My wife's not going to let me give you the extra $100 million or whatever. And so what's happened now is that owners have said, listen, there's got to be something more scientific about this. It can't be just this subjective, you know what, he's going to be this and that. And the teams used to negotiate with emotion. What's happened is analytics have taken the emotion out of it. And when agents go to owners now, owners will say, listen, I'm not smart enough to know if your guy's going to be good when he's 32 or 33 or 34. So my baseball guys tell me this is the value for your guy. We love him. We'd love to have him. But we're not smart enough to know if your guy is going to be one of those guys who at 35 is still going to be playing at an elite level. None of us know. And so we're going to treat all those guys the same. And that's what everybody's doing, is they're saying none of us are smart enough to guess. And here's the thing. We might have thought, well, Jose Bautista will be one of those guys. He'll be one. He keeps himself in great shape. He works hard at it. He cares about his profession. Well, he deteriorated rather quickly once he wanted that five-year, $150 million deal. And Josh Donaldson kept saying, I'm not that guy. Yeah, I had a calf strain, but I'm not that guy. I'm going to be healthy for the next 4 or 5 years. And then he wasn't. And so, you know, I think what's happened is, and then you look at all of the 10-year contracts that are out there. You look at Albert Pujols. Dan Lozano is looking at it saying, he's representing Manny Machado. He's saying, how can I not get 10 years for a 26-year-old when I got 10 years for a 31-year-old in Albert Pujols? Well, but how's it working out? Right? He's got 5 years left on his deal. Manny, and you look at Miguel Cabrera. We've got the 8-year extension. He's got over $130 million left on his deal right now for 5 more years, but Cabrera does.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get their money's worth out of it.
So you see it as more of a market correction. But how do you explain maybe not the 10-year guys, but some of the other free agents who have yet to sign? Is that just a trickle down? They're waiting for the big boys, and then and then the money will sort of sort itself out?
So here's what it is. People say, oh, there's 100 free agents left out there. Well, you know, Harper, Machado are plan A. The rest of the guys are playing B, C, D, and E, and they're waiting to see, because if teams have $30 million a year to spend on a player and they don't get the player they want, they've got $30 million to spend, and so everybody's looking to cherry-pick some part of that money. So they don't want to sign. So I'll give you an example. Adam Jones and Carlos Gonzalez are two guys out there whose skills are deteriorating a little bit, and they're doing it at 32, 33 years old, right? They're not that old, but they're still not the same guys, which is reinforcing what everybody thinks about age. And they're looking at it saying, we could go to Cleveland, but and Cleveland may have made an offer because Cleveland needs some outfielders. But the Phillies, if they don't get Harper or Machado, they probably still need another outfielder. And Carlos Gonzalez is thinking, geez, maybe instead of going back to Colorado or going to Cleveland, maybe the Phillies will pay me more than those teams will. So he's waiting. And Adam Jones is waiting. And so I think that they're all sort of hoping that there will be somebody left with money to spend on them.
Okay, but when does the game of chicken end? Because this is getting, the season's rolling.
It ends when the players want it to end, because the teams will make deals.
Okay, but Steve, when does the panic set in and the player phones his agent and say, listen, let's get this deal done already. We got pitchers and catchers reporting. I need to get grooving here.
You know what? I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Look, the Machado Harper thing, I don't know what they're waiting for. It's not like what Scott Boras is doing right now is he's doubled back on teams to try to pull other teams in that are coming in at any level. And then he wants to try to do is, even if it's at a four-year deal, he'll get as many teams in, and then he'll try to play them against each other to add the fifth year, to add the sixth year, the seventh year, to try to build it back up to where he wants to go, because he can't work from the top down now. He's got to work from the bottom up and try to build it, and he started all over again. I mean, pulling the San Francisco Giants, what are the San Francisco Giants going to do with Bryce Harper? They're going to sign him to a three-year deal. They're not going to win in the next 3 years. They're not as good as the Rockies or the Dodgers are. And so, it's just... And here's the thing. The other part of it is Boras and Lozano have a competition too. And neither of them wants to sign first. They want to wait and see what the other guy gets before they commit to a deal. And because they want to win in that head-to-head matchup as well, considering Machado was once represented by Boras and now is represented by Lozano.
Man.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, I think it's been pretty clear the impact that analytics has had on baseball and sabermetrics, more so than any other sport, although the other sports are starting to catch up. Baseball was really spearheading this movement. And, you know, as you said, and I think it's become fairly clear, you know, now guys are getting paid simply based on wins above replacement and a couple of other analytics that they have in-house, and that's it. You know, it's simply objective. And I'm worried about that in terms of baseball, and I'm also wondered, I'm wondering how it got to this point from an ownership standpoint. Like you just pointed out, their role in all this, Steve. Where okay, let's say Bryce Harper is worth 8 wins a year, 7 wins a year, 5 wins a year, whatever it is. Okay, I got you. games 1 through 162, but what is he worth in terms of ticket sales, in terms of TV deals, the amount of jerseys, the personality he brings? Like, is that just completely worthless now in baseball?
Well, it's not. Now, remember, any sort of jersey or hat that gets sold doesn't go specifically to the team. It goes to the central fund, and it's divided evenly among all 30 teams. So you don't get the benefit of your own star player selling his jersey. It's evenly divided among the 30 clubs. Yes, so the Washington Nationals had Bryce Harper. If anybody knows his value, it would be them.
Right.
They made an offer. He said no. They went in another direction because he thought his value was greater than that. Scott Boras put the book together because he thought, I'll show everybody what his value is. Everybody's looking at, that doesn't mean anything to us. We're going to go with our analytics. We know he's a good player. But here's the thing. Bryce Harper was ranked 78th in WAR last year in baseball. 78th in WAR. Bryce Harper's not a top 10 player in baseball. If defensive metrics are to be believed, right? So you know, we look at the analytics on defense. It told us that JD Martinez was a designated hitter, really wasn't a really good fit for the National League. So National League teams sort of stayed away from him. Do you understand that Bryce Harper's defensive metrics scream that he's a DH? Now, I think he's better than what the metrics indicate. He was the second worst defensive outfielder in baseball last year. And so part of this is, what is Bryce Harper? And if he's not a top 10 player in baseball, why should I make him the highest paid player in baseball? I mean, like really, there's the brand of Bryce Harper is bigger than the value of Bryce Harper as a player to me. And so I don't, you know, and I'm not paying for the fact that he's going to be on a T-Mobile commercial. I don't care. If he's on my team and he's on that commercial, it's not getting me anything. So certainly, you like the to have your fans connect the guys, everything else. All I know is the Washington Nationals didn't win anything with him. Just like when Alex Rodriguez went to Texas, they didn't win anything with him. And here's the thing. The Dodgers can add Bryce Harper, but they don't have to because they're still going to win the National League West. The Yankees could add Bryce Harper, but they don't have to. They're going to the playoffs. It's a matter of whether they beat the Red Sox in the division or not.
Right.
And so you start looking at some of the Cubs. They can't afford it, but the reality is they've got a good shot to win their division even without them. And that logic that teams that are in first place are using is the same as the logic that of the teams that are rebuilding. Why should I spend $30 million a year if I can add Bryce Harper and I'm still going to come in last place? Why bother? Why should I spend on Bryce Harper $30 million if I'm going to come in first place without him? Why spend an extra $30 million to add him when he hasn't gotten the Nationals to a World Series championship? So why should I spend the money on him too?
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, I got to get a Jays question in here before we let you go. Pitchers and catchers reporting in Dunedin this week. A lot of smoke surrounding Marcus Stroman throughout the offseason. Obviously, nothing came to fruition. How would you handicap the chances he's still a Blue Jay come opening day, come the trade deadline? I mean, where do you see this going with Stroman?
Yeah, I'd be really shocked if he's traded before opening day because, you know, everybody's basing their thinking that they might like Stroman better than the Blue Jays do. And that's not a good place for the Blue Jays to make a trade, right? They'd be selling low on Stroman. And so it really seems to me that there can't possibly be a deal to be made unless they think they just want addition by subtraction and moving him on. And he's not that much of a problem, right? He's not a problem. He's a high-energy guy that every once in a while will tweet something or say something that everybody reacts to. But he's not working against everybody. So you like to have that energy around. I'd much rather see him go out there, pitch well, and then if there's a deal to be made, they'll make it at the trade deadline. So I think it's 95% he'll be there for opening day. Trade at the deadline may make some sense.
We're gearing up here, man. Pitchers and catchers. It's baseball season. We're looking forward to it.
It's snowing in Connecticut.
Are you kidding?
Awful. You should see it up here.
We're in freezing snow day. Rain, snow. Kids were off school. It's awful.
It's gross. We're all ready for the summer.
Yeah.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Suck it up, you too.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Steve. There's Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, baseball analyst, pitchers and catchers, again, reporting league-wide, and full camps opening up pretty much this time next week.
Mm-hmm.